Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Second to None podcast on the Believe Podcast Network and streaming on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. I am your host, Blaine Gilmer, with my co-host, Tavares King. And Tavares, it was an absolutely wild weekend of SEC football. I know you want to start off with talking about your Dogs going into the Plains over there and taking care of business, now going to be the number one ranked team in the country.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's pretty exciting. It's a start, and it's where we want to end up. We want to stay there. So excited about it, obviously. But man, they did their thing in Jordan-Hare Stadium this weekend. Obviously, I knew Bo Nix was going to try to be Lamar Jackson Jr. I texted you during the game, Lamar Jackson Jr. trying to make something happen, but we tackled a little bit better than LSU does. So, man, we went in there and performed well. So, it was exciting to see offensively. Stetson played well. Dude, we might have a quarterback controversy. He's just playing lights out. He's doing everything that he needs to do. But he played great. Guys around him played great. It was just all around great day to be a Dog.
Oh, no doubt. And as a Georgia guy, I'm sure you were absolutely elated with the night result as well. Alabama goes down against Texas A&M. I mean, that's turned into the Saban and Kirby and all that kind of dynamic. And you know, I know everyone was glued to their television to see College Station just erupt there when Seth Small kicks the field goal through to beat him at the buzzer. I mean, just dude called game at the buzzer, TK, is over with right there. And we're going to break down all that action here on our rapid reaction segment to start off our show. We're also going to have two game previews for you this week. So it is exciting SEC action, and that's what you can bet on, guys. Each and every week, you can bet that there is going to be results you didn't expect, teams that are coming out doing great stuff. And speaking of betting, guys, if you like to bet on games and put a little extra action on them, then you can head over to Bet Online, because we're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all your pro and college football action this season, guys. With their new updated site and interface, they have even more odds, props, contests. Bet Online continues to be the number one source for everything football. So head on over to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your bonus from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. And TK, if you had had me wager on whether Texas A&M would have taken down Alabama, I would have lost that one, my man, because we're going to start off there with our rapid reactions, because, you know, that Texas A&M offensive line has just been abused all year. I mean, Arkansas took care of them. Mississippi State took care of them. Zach Calzada has not looked comfortable yet this year. And then all of a sudden, Alabama comes into College Station at night and finds themselves in an absolute dogfight with the Aggies. Just give your rapid reaction on that game. Alabama goes into College Station and loses that one 41-38 at the buzzer.
Yeah, man, just an incredible game. Incredibly coached game. Two probably of the greatest minds in football right now going at it. Coach Jimbo Fisher had an amazing plan offensively to attack Nick Saban's defense. I think that's a little blueprint for teams, moving forward. And, Zach Calzada, he grew up in this game. I really think he did, as well as those guys you just mentioned up front. A lot of those guys were in high school last year, playing against the number one team in the nation at the time. That's got to be nerve-wracking. But hats off to them, man. They got the job done. They played well. Zach Calzada played well, 21 for 31, was poised.
They did it leader. Isaiah Spiller out of the game a lot.
Yeah,
of the time.
Yeah. Isaiah Spiller went out for some plays. He played well. A-Train played well. A-Train played well as well. But yeah, Zach Calzada to me, dude, was the difference in this game. I think the biggest play in the game was him standing in there and throwing a dart down the field for a touchdown. That takes guts, bro. He knew he was going to get hit. He felt all that, stood in there. You've been a quarterback before. You know what that's like. So even watching that, I think I looked to my wife and I said, ooh, because I knew he was going to take a shot. And, you know, they got to respect the heck out of him for, one, delivering the strike, taking the blow, and for, two, coming back in there and finishing that thing off.
No doubt.
For that reason, Blaine, he's my offensive player of the week.
No doubt. I was about to mention that Zach Calzada is the second to none offensive player of the week this week. And TK, you know, it kind of just reinforces a little trend that we've been seeing with Alabama. So they go from, in, you know, 2016 and 2017 being these really hard-nosed defenses that are first in the country in scoring defense. 2018, they dropped down to 12th in the country. 2019 drops down to 13th in the country. Last year, 13th in the country. This year, TK, 42nd in the country. They're giving up 22 points a game. They're just playing, they're not playing as physical a brand of football. Alabama isn't. You're able to run the football. We saw it with Florida. We thought, oh, well, is that a fluke? You know, what's the deal with all that? Florida putting up all those rushing yards. In this game, TK, you had Texas A&M really imposing their will up front, and that was something that was crazy to me. You had, you know, Texas A&M only ended up with a total of 94 rushing yards once you take out sacks and stuff like that, but they were able to move the ball when they needed to, especially late there, and, you know, they had enough of a running game where Zach Calzada could pick up his yards, but it just seemed like Alabama, 153 yards rushing, not great on the day. Texas A&M up front on both sides of the ball, I just felt like was more physical than Alabama. Yeah. And that's not something you say about a Nick Saban team very much.
It isn't. It isn't something you say. And one of the things, you know, we talked about before, I mentioned is the linebacker play for me for Alabama is just different. It's different than it's been in the past. They're not flowing like they normally flow. And maybe they're just a tick slower, which is why they're not able to cover an Isaiah Spiller out of the backfield or an A-Chain or things like that. So, again, I think the blueprint is kind of out there for things to do to an Alabama defense. But obviously, they'll get that taken care of. They're gonna get that taken care of, and they're going to be fine in the sense of it's Nick Saban. He knows where the holes are, and he's gonna fix it.
They better get it taken care of in a hurry because they go to Mississippi State. And you know that Mike Leach is going to try to stretch them all 53 in the third yard side to side, man. I mean, he is going to make you cover the entire field, and he'll use those running backs out of the backfield and try to, try to take care of business. And Zach Arnett and that defense aren't bad either. And don't forget, Mississippi State beat Texas A&M the week before. So, the SEC West is truly
wild. Which is
crazy. Yeah. It's truly wild. Speaking of the SEC West, Kentucky takes care of an SEC West foe in LSU. The only rapid reaction I want to throw out there is just a matter of how long before Ed O gets fired. It's not only because of – I know he's only 2 years removed from a national championship, and I know that holds a lot of cachet, but in terms of, you know, on live radio saying, hey, we got fishing holes, we can throw guys like that in, you know, basically threatening to kill people on air and all that kind of stuff, just as a public figure, you know, the head of highest paid person in the university, probably can't do that kind of stuff. And that's just a long line of, miscues like that for Ed Orgeron. So LSU continues to struggle, sets up a huge matchup with Kentucky and Georgia. Kentucky coming off that win there at home, and we'll preview that here in a second. Again, Missouri is terrible on defense, TK. You give up 35 points to North Texas after getting 62 hung on you by Tennessee. I mean, Missouri is just struggling right now on defense.
Yeah, it's a little funky, man. Earlier in the year, kind of previewing that squad, you know, I thought they'd be a little bit better. I thought they had some pieces, especially in the secondary that were nice, but they're struggling, bro. They're really struggling. Like you said, bro, you're getting 62 hung up on you.
They got outgained by the Mean Green, 493 yards. The North Texas Mean Green hung on Missouri, 188 rushing yards, 305 passing. So, you know, that's just too much to be given to a team that doesn't have the amount of talent you do over there. Eli Drinkwitz is doing his best to try to recruit people, but you know, that probably didn't instill a lot of confidence in some of those recruits that were there to watch the game, TK, for that Missouri game. And then, you know, before we give our rapid reaction to Georgia-Auburn, we already touched on it a little bit, we do have to touch on, of course, Florida takes care of business against Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt's not an SEC team, so we're not going to really talk about that too much. Ole Miss, Arkansas, you watched a good bit of that game, TK. I know that some people are questioning for or against Sam Pittman's call to go for two there at the end, but just a shootout game. But man,
shootout.
Nobody could stop anybody. It was crazy.
No, they couldn't. Both teams struggled to stop each other. But man, I think I kind of have to agree with Coach Pittman right there. Going forward, let's get out of here. You know, we've been in a battle all day long. Let's get up out of here. But you know, yeah, like you said, nobody could stop anybody all day long. Matt Corral did his thing. KJ Jefferson did his thing on the ground as well, bro. It was just a tremendous game to watch and a fun one.
I mean, KJ Jefferson had 326 yards passing, and Arkansas rolled up 350 yards rushing. They had 676 yards total. Ole Miss had 611 yards total. So we're talking approaching 1,300 yards worth of offense in this game. I mean, it's just a crazy, crazy atmosphere. Matt Corral, once again, Lane Kiffin does a great job of scheming the run game, you know, allowing him to use his legs. And he was efficient through the air as well, 14-21, 287 yards, two touchdowns. My question is, I wonder if this Ole Miss team, and we're going to preview it here in a little bit, but I wonder if this Ole Miss team is just going to, I mean, when they go and face a Tennessee team that has a front seven, in my opinion, that is better than Arkansas's, you know, we'll see how they're able to.
That's, I don't know. I think it's just the way that Arkansas plays, bro. They play those three linemen up there. I think if they switch that up every now and then, mix it up. I don't know if I can give you.
I'm telling you, Tennessee's front seven is salty. I promise you that they've got some players that can get after you on that front seven. And we saw what they did for a first half against Florida, you know, before they ran out of gas. So we'll see if they can. They need to, in order, and we'll get to that in the preview here in a minute, but they need to force some three and outs for Ole Miss early. And if they're able to do that, their offense is pretty potent as well now. And I did want to say that we predicted.
And he looked good.
Oh, yeah. Hendon Hooker looked good. I mean, we predicted that Tennessee would go blow the doors off of South Carolina, and that is exactly what they did. They beat them 45-20. And, you know, a lot of people on our prediction were calling us crazy, saying, oh, South Carolina, their front seven is going to stop the Tennessee run game. Well, let's just look at it. Tennessee racks up another 247 yards rushing after 458 yards rushing the week before against Missouri. So Tennessee is humming there under Josh Heupel. Now they are 4-2 on the year, have a huge showdown with Lane Kiffin. So that's two offensively minded, creative guys, and we're going to preview that here in a minute. But last rapid reaction here, TK, the Georgia-Auburn game, like you said, you know, that it's a – Kirby Smart made a point. He said, guys, with COVID, this was really over 50% of that team's first true road game in a hostile environment like that, TK. And I was on the field down there covering it for UGA Sports. It was as loud as you could imagine right there at the beginning of that game. They have these speakers on the field that are blaring. They got the scoreboard. I mean, you've played in that environment. It is just, it's just bonkers right there at the beginning of the game. And then Auburn gets a little bit of momentum, is able to go down there and hit a field goal.
Bro, they got the first down. I knew it was loud because they got a first down and it got loud on TV. I was like, damn, they happy about the first down? But yeah, so I know it was rocking in there.
Oh yeah, and it just goes to show how hard it is to move the ball on Georgia's offense, and especially on Georgia's defense. And then when you go down in the red zone, Auburn was down in the red area, you know, three times with opportunity, and Georgia's defense bowed its back. I mean, that's where that speed of that defense, you know, Georgia was without numbers in the secondary, right? Christopher Smith goes out with an injury. Tyke Smith wasn't really ready to play yet. Amir Speed was out. They didn't have any backup corners, really. William Poole was having to switch over from safety and play some corner every once in a while. Dan Jackson, a walk-on, was playing starting safety, and he ended up leading the team in tackles after he blocked. He was the guy who blocked the punt against Arkansas last week to kind of seal that game up early. So, you know, they were without numbers. They were playing a little bit softer coverage, TK, and allowing Auburn to have some things underneath. And to Bo Nix's credit, Mike Bobo's credit, they were patient enough sometimes to take those things. They lost some patience at times, I thought. And that's where when you don't take exactly what Georgia's giving you, that's when danger comes, because you hold the ball just a little bit too long and they finally get to you, or they force you to get a hurry. Jalen Carter had 8 hurries by himself during that game. 8 hurries, and 8 hurries on Bo Nix is a credit, because Bo Nix, like you said, you call him Lamar Jackson Jr. I mean, it was it was crazy right there. So just overall thoughts before we move on to our preview of the Georgia Auburn game and how Georgia's defense kind of held up there.
Man, you talk about Jalen Carter, bro. I vividly remember him chasing Bo Nix and saying, like, dude, that dude right there just wants to kill him. Like, he wants to get to the quarterback. Like, just I'm like, that looks scary. So, man, just again, hats off job by that front seven, walking the O-line back in Bo Nix's lap, frustrating him, especially. Like you mentioned, with guys on the back end being absent, helping those guys that doesn't get a lot of reps out. So another great job by that front seven. But offensively, bro, I said it earlier, Stetson ball, bro. Stetson is a baller. Stetson is a gamer. He is a playmaker. As well as we see that we've got some playmakers around him. Ladd McConkey, bro. He had a day, 5 for 135 with a tug. He gets my up top pork top award this week. Not only, statistically was he balling, the route running was there too. Showed a lot of great quick twitch stuff with the early double move, and then on the post showed them wheels off. They didn't know why chocolate could roll like that.
No, he was Ladd McConkey was getting after it, man. He was absolutely, great. 5 catches, 135 yards, and a touchdown. Also, you got to think about this. Georgia goes into a hostile environment, just like Alabama went into a hostile environment and lost to Texas A&M. Georgia goes into a hostile environment, and their 3 leading receivers on the day are freshmen or true freshmen, and a true freshman tight end, Brock Bowers, who had two big catches there, kind of explosive type plays. Yeah, Ladd McConkey doing his thing for the big day. A.D. Mitchell with a touchdown catch down there in the red area on the goal line. And, you know, these are all young cats. Imagine this, folks. Georgia did all this with 13 members of their 2 deep on either side of the ball out of this game and missing. And Georgia's getting healthier. When George Pickens, Dominic Blaylock, Jermaine Burton come back on this offense. And Big O played, so I'll count him as playing.
How close was he to catching that ball?
Okay, so I was taking pictures right there, and I tried to get zoomed in, but I'm looking through my camera, and all of a sudden I see he's about 10 feet in front of me, and all of a sudden I see his paw jump up there and try to grab that ball. He was really close.
Bro, it looked – I was like, goodness gracious, he about snagged that thing. Yeah, he's a specimen. We're getting healthier, bro. It's scary.
Georgia certainly looks, but speaking of Georgia, now we have and you've already given Ladd McConkey your up top pork chop winner. Zach Calzada the offensive player of the week. I'm going to give the defensive player of the week to, we talked about Kentucky taking care of LSU, DeAndre Square and N'Kobe Dean, the linebacker from Georgia. They're going to be a co-defensive players of the week this week. All of our players of the week are presented by the Sideline Sports Network, guys. And you need to make sure to follow them at sidelines_SN. at SSN_collegeFB. They put a lot of great content, cover all the ins and outs of the playoff race, all that kind of stuff. But when you're talking about players of the week, man, DeAndre Square for Kentucky, he just absolutely is tenacious. He's able to blitz late and get to the quarterback, similar to N'Kobe Dean. N'Kobe Dean kind of halted momentum early for Auburn right there with a pick off when it bounced off of Shiver, and he was able to lay out. And how impressive of a play is that, TK, where you got an inside linebacker running with a little scat back out to the flat, it pops up in the air, and he's able to lay out and pick it like that? I mean, N'Kobe Dean is going to be an NFL first round draft pick.
Yeah, no questions. It might be a couple of them.
Yeah, he's a big guy. That Georgia defense is loading with him. So in terms of, speaking of two, that's a Georgia guy and a Kentucky guy taking the co-defensive players of the week. So it's time for us, TK, to preview Georgia versus Kentucky for the second time in 3 weeks. College Game Day is coming to Athens, Georgia, as the number, I think they're ranked number 11 now, the number 11 ranked Kentucky Wildcats, which why they're not in the top 10 boggles my mind. But the number 11 ranked Kentucky Wildcats coming to the number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs. This is the latest that Georgia has been ranked number one in a season since 1980. And so the Georgia Bulldogs are 6-0 on the year, 4-0 in the conference. Kentucky the same. And TK, you got Georgia here, two very similar operating teams, right? You got Georgia averaging 39.8 points per game. That's 12th in the FBS. They only allow 5.5 points per game, TK. That's number one in the FBS. They've outscored their opponents this year 293-33 on the year so far through six games. They average 433 yards themselves each game, and they average allowing only 203 yards a game, TK. Kentucky, they are 31 points a game. That's 55th in the FBS. They allow 17.5. That's 20th in FBS. They get 411 yards per game and allow 305. So, TK, you got two teams that are in the top 20 in defense and scoring defense, and they're pretty stingy overall. You know, I think both of these offenses are going to have challenges when it comes to facing the opposing defense, but maybe in different ways, because Kentucky does it a little bit different with that zone coverage and some of those late zone blitzes and things like that. And Georgia, they're in your face, they're manning things up, they're trying to get pressure with four. So, you know, what's your initial thoughts on this game, as it's a huge atmosphere once again with Georgia and Kentucky?
Yeah, stage is set for another great one, obviously, but you know, Mark Stoops is coming in here with an amazing defense. In my opinion, I think they're probably the second best defense in the SEC East, you know, behind us. So it'll be a good game. You know, the work is cut out for our offense. I expect them to put the pressure on Stetson Bennett or whoever is at the quarterback position and our receivers. I really do expect them to make those guys prove that they can do it again and again and again, because I know that they know that we can run the ball on them, and obviously we will do that. So it'll be a great game. It'll be a fun day. I think it'll be another fun day to be a dog.
And when you talk about Will Levis for Kentucky, right, they mm-hmm. they needed to get things going in the air. He was efficient for Kentucky, right? He was 14-17, 145, three touchdowns. They're still not really stretching the field. You know what I'm saying? They're not really being extremely explosive in the pass game. But I will say that they're trying to do a better job of getting the ball to Wandale Robinson. He had eight catches for 60 yards. Yeah, he had eight catches for 60 yards in this game. But TK, I think that when you talk about Wandale Robinson, I think Georgia will do things with their defense to say, one's not going to beat us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They're 100%.
They're going to take Wandale out of the game, and then it'll be, can Kentucky's offensive front make enough room for Chris Rodriguez to make a living, you know, against that Georgia D? He had 16 carries for 147 yards. TK, I think this is going to be a tremendous matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, bro. But you can have 16 carries for a bill if it's somewhere to go, but I don't think it's gonna be nowhere to go.
Well, and that's the thing I was going to bring up. Obviously we like to talk about the spreads and see what's happening right here. Dude, Bet Online has Georgia opened up as a 24.5-point favorite over Kentucky, over the 11th ranked team in the country. So, I mean, TK, is that too many points? I mean, what are you thinking? That, you know, remember they had Georgia as a 15-point favorite over 15.5-point favorite over Auburn. They end up winning that one by 24 points on the road. I mean, 24.5 at home, that pretty strong or what?
I told them people to take the points. Oh, man, this Georgia defense honestly is.
Oh, it's come down a little bit, just so you know. It's 22.5 now.
22. Oh, okay. No, for real, I think this Georgia defense is just so stout that Vegas is saying, like, people can't score on them. And then with that, we're going to get good field position, as well as, you know, Stetson Bennett's doing his thing, as well as guys are making plays. So I think that Vegas is rolling with us. And honestly, I'm rolling with us too. I think that Will Levis and that Kentucky offensive line struggles to get it done. I think that they struggle to get it done up front for him. So when they do drop back, explosive plays can't be done, because he's going to have somebody in his face. And if we can bottle him up, obviously secondary plaster, then I think we'll be fine.
I'll be honest with you, TK. I think Kentucky, in terms of overall, I think Alabama's not the same Alabama that they've been. I think.
But you're not about to say they're the best team we may play.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I think when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, Alabama's got a lot of stuff to figure out. I'm going to say Kentucky's the second best, not just in the East, the second best defense in the entire SEC. And not overall team. I'm saying the second best defense. That defensive unit, the way they play together cohesively, I think Kentucky's really, really good. What I don't think is they're not a complete team. I don't think Kentucky has what it takes offensively to even pose a threat to Georgia on that side of the ball. I think that Georgia's going to, one, out have more depth and more talent than they have on that offensive side of the ball. And I think Dan Lanning and company will scheme them up tremendously and take away some of their biggest threats. So I don't know. That 22.5 is a little strong, TK. But I think Georgia takes care of this one handily. I mean, what's your overall pick of how this one plays out?
Yeah, I think we take care of it, probably with the 22 points, my dude. Again, I don't see. You mentioned it, that Wandell doesn't touch it enough. He has been, but they don't have enough weapons to have enough explosive plays. And if you're gonna beat this Georgia team, you gonna have to have explosive plays. But on the other side of that, I don't think that physically that they match up with us well offensively. So I think we'll be able to physically impose ourselves on them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, but you were kind of balking back a little bit when I was saying they may be the second best defense. I mean, just by how they play. I mean, I don't
they
see
fly
how
around, bro. They definitely fly around to the ball. Coach Stoops. I mean, yeah, you know what? I won't say they're not.
They have 9 seniors starting on the defensive
right,
side.
Right, they got a lot of experience. Coach Stu's got them rolling. You could very well be right. You could very well be right.
Yeah, so we'll see. We threw out score predictions last week for Georgia Auburn. I said 28-0 over Auburn, and on the Kentucky game, I said Kentucky would win 27-17. Obviously, both overshot my expectations there on the point side of it. What are you thinking in terms of this Georgia Kentucky game?
Man, I think they struggle to score. Probably like a 38-10 game.
Yeah, I like along those lines. I think that Georgia is able to get some points on the board. I do like a field goal here or there. I'm gonna say that maybe Kentucky has a great run by Chris Rodriguez or Wandell makes a play just because they're good players. So I'm going to say they score one late. I'm going to say Georgia 41-17 in this
41-17.
One. 41-17. So I'm taking them to cover. I am taking them over the 22 points. So taking them to cover and win Georgia in this game. Now, TK, before we move on to Tennessee and Ole Miss, I do want to ask, do you think when JT Daniels is healthy that this is a straight JT Daniels job, or do you think there will always be a package in there where Stetson Bennett is used solely because of the purpose of his legs?
Man, I think he's making it hard now again, just because he's doing all the right things. But yeah, even when JT gets back, he doesn't move like Stetson moves. He doesn't he can run the read option like Stetson can run the read option. So I think there definitely will be a place for him if he's not the guy.
I mean, you think about some teams have a wildcat package, right? It's like every play is a wildcat package with Stetson Bennett. The dude can scoot. He hits almost 21 miles per hour on the GPS. I mean, he can run, you know.
He can slide. He need to come see me for his jukes, though. His juke was a little bendy. But he can run it for real.
Yeah, he can. I think on that 4th and 2 at Auburn's 41, it was a 4th and 2, and they did the little zone read, and he ripped off a 30-yard run where mm-hmm. nobody even knew he had the ball. You know,
They got me on that one.
That was kind of that brings a different element to that Georgia team. It also got Smoke Monday thrown out of the game on that targeting where my man put his dang crown right and tried to go through Stetson's face mask. So, you know, I mean, I know that's it's hard to legislate that out of the game and all that kind of stuff now, but you know, hey, that's what you get when you get a quarterback running these days. It seems like it puts even more pressure on the defense, TK, because we can't hit him in the head, you know. So
the ejection, I mean, I'm with the flag, but you ain't got to kick the dude out the club.
Yeah, they should probably change that rule. Now let's get to Ole Miss going on the road to Knoxville, TK, to take on the Tennessee Volunteers. Josh Heupel's team is rolling. In the last 2 weeks, TK, they've scored 107 points and have over 700 yards of rushing in the last 2 weeks. I mean, they're really getting things going. Of course, Ole Miss bounced back with an offensive explosion against Arkansas in that shootout. This is a 7:30 kick. You know Neyland Stadium is going to be rocking. Auburn's loud, but TK, you've played when Neyland is jumping. Is there a louder place than Neyland Stadium with those 115,000 or whatever it is over there in that stadium?
It's jumping. You know, them folks going to be good and liquored up. It's going to be a good time in there. It's definitely going to be jumping, man. That'll be a good one. But you said it, Coach Heupel's got that Tennessee offense rolling. I think Hendon Hooker is doing a lot of growing up within the past few weeks, bro. And what a time to be hitting midseason form. Midseason, and I think he's hitting it because he's making all the right plays, all the right reads, and guys around him, bro. When this happens for a quarterback, it elevates the play of guys for the receivers. Guys around him are making plays, so it's awesome to see.
Hendon Hooker's having the same effect on that Tennessee offense that Stetson Bennett's having on the Georgia offense, right? They believe in him. They believe when you believe in your quarterback and you're able to go out there and play, and they have fun playing with him. The last 2 weeks, Hendon Hooker 78.9% completion percentage against Missouri, 73.9% against South Carolina. Against South Carolina this past week, 17-23, 225 yards and 3 touchdowns. He had 225 yards and 3 touchdowns exactly against Missouri too. So if he goes for 225 and 3 tutties, he gets Ole Miss, man. We're just going to start calling him, Mr. Consistency right there, because Hooker is just dialing it out. He had 221 yards and 2 touchdowns against Florida. So I think we're honing in on that number, TK. Hendon Hooker's going to get somewhere in the 220s passing for a couple touchdowns at
consistency.
Least. Yeah, consistency. I had a head coach, TK, that always said the true measure of greatness is consistency, right? Consistency. So that's how you measure true greatness. So we'll see if Hendon Hooker can remain consistent. The Bet Online spread for this one, TK, Ole Miss is a 3-point favorite on the road. So really, they think this is about a touchdown game because Tennessee is probably getting 3 points off of that because of being the home team. So. I really think, and I'm being as truthful as I can. I really, really like this Tennessee front seven. I like the way they play. In terms of like Tyler Barron on the edge, he's the type of guy that TK, he's just relentless. He comes off, he gets after you. They've got leadership and like Theo Jackson coming from the safety position. You know, it's a defense that is really starting to come into its own and shut down. Obviously, Missouri and South Carolina have had their struggles, but when you're believing TK and you're playing at a high level, and then you got a home game, you know, you got a home game where you're able to have that crowd juiced up at night. So we'll see the last road experience that Ole Miss had. It wasn't too good over there in Tuscaloosa. So we'll see if they've learned from that.
Nah, it wasn't nice over there, but I think Lane and the crew, obviously being in another battle last week, will be ready and prepared for their. I mean, they're battle tested, so they've been in big games already. Obviously, this year they've been in big games that they won. They've been in big games that they've lost. So I think it'll be a good one, bro. The stage will be set. What's the over again?
79, the over under 79 in this one.
We got us a high ass over, bro. So it'll probably be a bunch of points scored in this one. So it'll be a fun game. But Matt Corral, dude, I like him a lot, bro. I'm Lane trained and Matt Corral. So I just think that they're special together.
How much does it worry you that Ole Miss's defense has given up 560 yards of rushing, and that's really the calling card right now for Tennessee when they have a key running back like Tyon Evans, who has 482 rushing yards on the year, 6.6 carries? Hendon Hooker's getting it done with his legs as well with 282 yards. I mean, is that a concern for this Ole Miss team? Because Tennessee's offense is moving at that warp pace, TK. I mean, they're snapping the ball very quick. Do you think they're able to steal a possession or two and, you know, just catch Ole Miss off guard with their defensive woes?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll definitely have them running side to side. We know Josh Heupel likes to go up tempo, run a lot of plays. We also know that Ole Miss struggles defensively tackling. We've seen it, I think, two weekends in a row. When I say Lane train, it's about the offense. Yeah. But man, they're gonna struggle, bro. I think defensively they'll struggle. I think that Josh Heupel and Hendon Hooker and that Tennessee offense will put up some points, but they're gonna put up points too. So I think they'll be in another shootout, kind of similar to what they were in last week.
Yeah, Tennessee's also getting some passing threats there. Velus Jones Jr., 6 catches, 103 yards, a touchdown against South Carolina. Javonta Payton, who had that big touchdown catch against Florida, pulls in another 39-yard touchdown catch in this game against South Carolina this past week. And then Jalen Hyatt, 3 catches, a touchdown as well. So, and they're just starting to get that continuity and that production out of that offense. I really like the front seven. I'm just going to tell you, TK, I think Tennessee, also Lane Kiffin's coming back to Knoxville. He's spurned those people, you know. I mean, that whole late night move thing, all that kind of stuff. Those people are going to be, like you said, liquored up, and there's going to be some good old volunteer rednecks giving Lane Kiffin the business up there in the stands. And if they get a little bit of momentum early, I think it's going to be very, very interesting. And I say that with affection because I'm a Georgia redneck myself. So
Listen here, my brother. Switch those. If Ole Miss jump out there on that tail, he gonna show his behind too now.
Oh no, he's gonna try to. It's gonna be the hatred of 115,000 versus the hatred of Lane Kiffin, and we'll see which one has more willpower there. When it comes down to it, I'm gonna take Tennessee in this game, and I'm gonna take it for the reason that I just have zero faith in the ability of Ole Miss to stop the run. I thought they had turned the corner before that Alabama game. I had a lot of confidence, thought that they played pretty well, but it just turned out, TK, they hadn't played anybody that was able to run the ball. So Alabama and Arkansas has ran it down their throats the last 2 weeks. Tennessee's going to do the same. I like Tennessee to cover. I like Tennessee to win outright. Let me see if I like the over or not. Jeez. I think at 79 points, I think Tennessee – to win this game is going to have to put up, I say Tennessee wins this game 48 to 41. So I'm going to take the over in this game. And I'm going to take Tennessee to win 48-41. Who do you got?
Lane Train. Look, bro, you just said it. They've been in games. They've been getting ran on. That ain't nothing new. That is nothing new, bro. They've been getting ran on.
Well, it's almost might beat run them on. Twice. Beat them in Alabama.
Tennessee might run up and down the field on them. But you know what's going to happen? They're going to score some points, bro. They're going to score a lot of points. Tennessee might score a lot of points. So I'm definitely taking the over. It's probably going to be a 51-40. It's a tight one. 48 game.
Field goal there for Ole Miss wins it at the end. Well, guys, so those are our two game previews. We gave you our up top pork chop with Ladd McConkey, our offensive player of the week, Zach Calzada for Texas A&M, and that performance, co-defensive players of the week, DeAndre Square and N'Kobe Dean. I forgot to mention the special teams player of the week is Seth Small, the field goal kicker for Texas A&M, nailing that kick right there at the
always,
end.
Always, everybody always trying to lead a kicker out, man.
No doubt. I mean, it's just like Vandy's not a member of the SEC. It's debatable whether kickers are football players or not. So we're trying to.
No, they're the guys.
They're the guys. So we got to figure all of that stuff out. But guys, we always love chopping up SEC football action. For Tavarius King, I'm Blaine Gilmer here on Second to None. Make sure to hit subscribe, turn on notifications, and join us on Wednesday as we will be diving into our SEC West and SEC East power rankings presented by Sideline Sports Network. Also, we will be hitting some top individual matchups and then maybe even some recruiting, guys. So a big recruiting weekend coming up for Georgia. I know Texas A&M had a lot of guys there for that Alabama victory that we can touch on that. TK, you know, that helping you guy Nick Williams out over there, that pulling that upset at home. So we'll have
That was probably huge.
Oh, that was huge. They had a guy, Walter Nolan, in there, 5-star defensive tackle that you know was impressed. Julian Humphrey, who was trending with Georgia there. He's committed to Florida, but he's visited Georgia and A&M in back-to-back weeks, and you know he enjoyed seeing that over there. So, like I said, for Tavarius King, I'm Blaine Gilmer. Make sure to join us on Wednesday for all that good stuff I just told you about here on the Second and None podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network, and on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. And we will catch you on Wednesday.